Too tall. There's not a person. Teach me, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you feel the presence of the Lord this morning? Let's just take some time to wait upon Him right now. Speak to us, Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. There's such a peace in this place, Lord God, that, Lord, we can indeed trust You with everything in our lives. We can trust You with our health. We can trust You with our finances. We can trust You with our families. We can trust You, Lord God, and we just have to wait on You. Let You do the work, Lord God, because You're ordering our steps. I want to challenge you this coming week. You know, there's not a lot of distractions, or maybe there's a lot of distractions at home now that many of us are home. Take some time to just wait on the Lord. Something we should do normally, but I want to challenge, if you take a challenge out of this service, challenge you to take some time this week just to wait upon Him. Find out what He is speaking to your heart about. What does He want you to be still about? What does He want you to grow in, change in, be passionate about? Amen. We want to go before the Lord in prayer this morning. We want to continue to pray for Brother Pat Huber, Brother John Wagner, dealing with cancer, and just going to believe for their recovery, their healing. Amen. If there's any needs in your family, just share those right now. Kids, share with your parents something that's been stressing you out. So sad yesterday. We have neighbors, and they've got a boy who's about 6 months older than Josiah. They're just great friends. And a girl who's 2 years younger, and they just love to hang out. And they've been hanging out, and we've been, you know what? It's okay. Well, they put up their bounce hut yesterday, and I just had a feeling I should ask versus Josiah. I should ask the mom if he can come out. And I said, hey, can he come out? And she's in the nursing field somewhere, not on front lines. And she said, well, unfortunately, I think I may have been exposed. There's a chance. And Josiah was so heartbroken. He's like, Dad, I don't like social distancing. It's not my favorite. Little four-year-olds using the phrase social distancing, who would have thought? But I know it can be hard. And so, kids, share with your parents something that's on your heart, and let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. We thank You, God, Lord, that we can trust You, God. We can have faith in You, Lord God. You are indeed true, Lord God, and it's in these times that faith, Lord, which is, Lord Jesus, the evidence of things not seen, that really that means, Lord God, us taking Your word at face value, and though we may not feel it, though we may not understand how or why, we trust in You. We wait on You. We believe in You. We just hand that situation over and not try to take it upon ourselves. We just stand on Your word, God. And I pray, God, this morning all across, Lord, this area, God, those who are watching all across this world, God, that, Lord Jesus, they would trust You, God, this Lord morning, God, that they would put their trust. We entrust You with all our needs, all our situations. You say to cast our cares, even a little four-year-old who doesn't like social distancing, God. We went to You in prayer yesterday, God, Lord, because that's hard, God. And I pray, Lord, that whatever need there is out there, whether it's a small need or a feeling, Lord, a financial need, Lord God, those who are sick, God, Brother Pat Huber, Brother John Wagner dealing with cancer, we're believing for their healing, God. We entrust You with their bodies, their lives, this cancer, God, Lord Jesus, God. We place it in Your hands once again this morning, God. And I pray, challenge us, Lord God, this week to take some time to wait on You so we could receive what You'd have, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You feel good in the house, in your home tonight, at work, in your car, wherever you're at. Amen. I sure hope so. I pray that this morning. Amen. We want to remind you that you can worship the Lord in your giving. As always, you can mail it in, 5301 Commercial Avenue. The options are on your screen right now. Go to the website, cgcmadison.org, and click the Give link and follow the instructions. Today is Mission Sunday. Typically, we have a special offering for missions. So if you typically do that, or if you've never done that, I want to encourage you to give to missions. Put something in that foreign missions category. Or you can text to give, 608-719-3883. The keywords tithes, or you can text offering, or you can text missions, and that will go to our missions offering. Amen. And we will be blessed and continue to honor the Lord and worship him with our giving. Amen. Just a few announcements this morning, this week. Continue to join us online for church. We encourage you to do that. We've got our VOSA service at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays and CGC on Wednesdays, and then again next Sunday. Amen. This Friday, we are having an all-church prayer meeting. It's our monthly prayer meeting. That's going to start at 7 p.m. online, just like we did last month, and we're excited for that. So join together with your families at 7 p.m. This Friday. And then just a quick announcement. I know summer is fast approaching, and which typically means right around this time that we're filling out junior camp forms or senior camp forms or starting to consider family camp or men's camp. And just wanted to let you know that the district did reach out to everybody, to the churches, and inform us that they have made the decision to cancel all camps this season, this year. Junior, senior, family, as well as men's camp in August are going to be canceled. Lots of logistic things that are already needing to be started and in place right now. And it's getting a little too late with all the uncertainty. So they've made that choice and that decision. And so we're just going to enjoy our times here together. Someone mentioned maybe quizzing, national quizzing tournament, and Brother Chris Zimmerman, and they go there, and he's like, well, if they cancel it, we haven't heard yet, but we'll find out soon, and if they do, hey, my wife and I, that's our anniversary weekend and around there, and so we might get out if anything's open. So let's pray for the Zimmermans that something will be open, they can enjoy it. Anyways, he's... He's going to kill me. Sorry, Brother Zimmerman. Amen. So good to see all of you here who are here worshiping. I want to thank everybody who volunteers and comes in and serves in our media area, our sound area, music area. And you guys are such a blessing. And it's so good to see faces on social media. It always brightens my day. So it's so good to see all of you. We got Pastor Roy is going to come at this time and bring us the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap right in your home.
Praise the Lord, church. It is so good to be here today. This has just been a great week. I trust that all of you have had a great week this past week, and it's just been a beautiful, beautiful weekend thus far, and just enjoyed the day yesterday, getting outside, And I think spring is finally kind of sprung, and you can always tell when spring is officially here, when your yard becomes, if your yard is like my yard, within a few days here, it's going to be pretty well mostly yellow, and that is because of all of the dandelions, and I haven't quite figured this out because we're surrounded by cornfields and bean fields and wheat, whatever they plant, and I know they spray their fields and such, and I don't know how all the dandelions end up in my yard and they don't end up in the farmer's fields, but nevertheless, we had a great turnout on Thursday night, and we had a movie night here, and I just want to thank our outreach team. Brother Jerry Simmons oversees that, and just want to thank him for putting that together for all of you folks. I hope you enjoyed your evening on Thursday, and we're looking forward to having more of these as the summer, spring and summer comes. So as we move into this morning's message, we started a three-part series on Wednesday night. We titled this, God Has His Reasons. Talked with Pastor Steve Rogers this past week in Milwaukee, and they had one of their very prominent saints in their church, involved in many various ministries, passed away from the COVID-19 virus, and their church was struggling with, why does God allow some of these things to happen? And hopefully this series here will be able to take and bring some insight into your mind, into your heart. So reviewing from Wednesday night, we chose the passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, for when we came into Macedonia, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside and fears within. If you look at this in the King James, the New King James translation of this verse, it uses the painfully descriptive phrase hard pressed to describe Paul's trials. We were hard pressed on every side. This origin of this phrase comes from the practice of squeezing grapes or squeezing olives to extract the juice from it. It is hard pressed. You have to press very hard. And I feel that in our lives at times that perhaps weeks, months, seasons of our lives can come and go, and we feel that our lives are very hard pressed. And life has us between a rock and a hard place, as life appears at times to have the ability to slowly grind away at us and begin to tear us down little by little by little. I know that many of you here this morning can relate, because you have found yourself in a position to where that you sleep very little at night because of the frustrations that perhaps you are dealing with. You sweat, you groan, you weep, and you rage. And yet, in all of this, you cannot find that relief that you are so desperately looking for. No matter the pleading, the intense pressure of life does not back down. You plead for rescue, yet the vice of life's circumstances, like a snake that constricts on its prey, every breath that you take, it becomes tighter and tighter and more difficult to breathe. And you cry out, why doesn't God hear me? Why is God ignoring me in these times of trouble and these times of trial? What have I done? And you cry out, God, please, please rescue me. And the question echoes inside the recesses of our minds and in our hearts. Why, God, why? I believe here this morning that there are many reasons why God sometimes chooses not to rescue us, why sometimes God chooses not to bless us. If you're feeling hard-pressed today, or you know someone who is in a position that I'm speaking of, I need you to ask the Lord to show you, as you listen to this message and you listen to these points that we're going to be making and covering this morning, why sometimes does God choose not to step in and intervene in our lives? Reviewing from Wednesday, point number one that we spoke of is sometimes we just simply don't believe that God can. You see, God works in response to our faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. That means it can't be done without faith. At times in our lives, yes, we may have faith and we may have perhaps strong faith, but we have to understand that by nature we're sinful creatures. Paul talks to the church in Romans 3:23 that says, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Sometimes we may have faith, but we have sin in our lives, things that we're struggling with. And this sin is a block. It is difficult for us to have sin in our lives and yet have that close relationship with God, because sometimes we can willfully choose to disobey God and understand that we cannot take and just say, God, I don't agree. I'm going to willfully choose to disobey you. And then we turn around and we expect God to almost simultaneously bless us. God doesn't work that way. You see, when we violate his principles, when we violate his law, there are consequences. Sometimes we need to learn to trust God and to trust in God. And we started to cover a few points on Wednesday night that as they related to trust. And we're going to continue on this morning. Trust is the backbone of any relationship. It's simply put, no trust, no relationship. And all relationships are about being connected. We talked about faith and trust. Our faith begins small and increases with every challenge as we work our muscles and you lift weights. Some of the young guys and the gals lifting weights and exercising like muscles. Our confidence in God's power grows stronger the more that we exercise it. So it's important if you want to have trust in God, learn to trust in God, we have to activate faith. Have to activate trust. Sometimes how do we learn to trust in God? And the number one reason that prohibits us from trusting in God is we spend too much time trusting in ourselves. Don't depend on you. And Proverbs 3:5, Solomon wrote that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. We covered the point of cry out to God in prayer. Surrendering to God begins with our lips and begins with our thoughts, and we need more than a commitment to depend on him. We need at crying out to him is a sign of dependence on him. It's not a weakness. It's not a weakness, as some people would say. Well, you know, Christians, you have to depend on God. That shows a weakness. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. We talked about running from evil. So much of this world can clutter up our relationship with God. And 1 John 2:16, John describes the desires of the flesh and lusts of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And our society today is overwhelmed with desires of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of our lives. We talked about how that our blessings, sometimes when God blesses us, can become our stumbling blocks when we think of them as what we deserve. This is what I deserve for serving you, God. I deserve all of this. Or this is what we need to make us happy. So moving ahead this morning, and God has his reasons. It's easiest at times to put ourselves first when something good happens, and we want to congratulate ourselves with the reward. There are times where that maybe you've told your children, you know, if you do real good in this, mom and dad, we're going to give you a reward. We're going to go by Culver's on the way home from church. If you do real good, if you behave yourself and you sit still, you see, it's easiest to put ourselves first in our lives. But when something bad happens, we want to console ourselves, or we want to find someone else in which we can blame. We live in a world today to where that now we're all in this, and sometimes I just grow weary of making reference to this situation we're in, but it's the reason why you're sitting at home today and we're having service online is because of this virus, and there's more than enough people to share the blame. We have the politicians wanting to blame. We have the news media wanting to blame. Everybody wants to blame somebody. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter. We're all stuck with it. We have to learn to deal with it. And sometimes in life, we become that same way. We have this me-centric attitude. So how do we overcome this? Well, we have to put God first in our lives. We live in a society where God is very low on the list of priorities when it comes to people's lives. And people say, well, how do I know if a person, or if I'm putting God first. Well, there are certain ways that you can show and that you can, certain signs. I mean, your commitment to God. How committed are you to the kingdom of God? How committed are you? Are you sitting in right now having church in your home? Or perhaps maybe as you're listening to this or people are listening to this, you're out mowing your lawn. No one will ever know. Nobody is probably going to really, maybe perhaps even care. But nevertheless, how committed are you? How committed is your family? How are you as a husband or a father in leading your family in the ways of the Lord? And how often do you read your word? How often do you pray? Another good sign as far as whether or not God is first in your life is, what do you do with your money? I know we give people an opportunity here to give, and you don't certainly have to give to Calvary Gospel Church. I don't force anyone to take and support the church. It's not like you come in and you have to sign some paperwork, but Proverbs 3, verse 9 and through 10, Solomon knew this: honor the Lord with your wealth, with your substance, with your first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled and overflowing, and your vats will brim with new wine. See, if we can trust God with that typically which may be most dear to us, if we can trust God with our family and we can trust God with our wealth, then we're showing Him how much that we can depend on Him. And we begin transitioning from that me-centric attitude that is in our world today into a God-centric life that we desire to live. And to get there, we must make sure that we check ourselves by the Word of God. So we have to be honest this morning. We're not real good at evaluating ourselves. There are times sometimes in life where that we have these self-evaluations, opportunities to evaluate ourselves, and we will go to great lengths at times to excuse our behavior, perhaps excuse our actions, or excuse any sin in our lives. And who needs a defense attorney when we can pretty much find a reason for any bad thing that we do, and there's always a reason why we do what we do. The prophet Jeremiah captures this very well in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. That's a pretty powerfully blunt statement. It's telling you and me that our heart is deceitfully wicked. And above all things, who can understand it? Who can know it? So when we look at our hearts, we look at what comes out of our heart, out of our minds, out of our vocabulary, it's telling us that we're pretty bad, pretty bad to the core. And who can actually even understand it? If we're ever going to truly trust in God and flee from evil, we have to know exactly where we stand. And how do we know exactly where we stand? You may ask this morning, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved or not saved. You can know exactly where you stand this morning when you find an objective measure that will always tell you the truth. We live in a world today. I mean, I read the news. I went for months and months without any news source. I grew weary. I got tired. I got off of all social media, Facebook, all of that stuff. I'm still no longer on Facebook. My wife is the Facebook aficionado in our household, and I don't have a whole lot of desire to go back and throughout this mess that we're in right now. I've gotten back into the news cycle, and everybody out there wants you to listen to them because they are the ones that are the bearer of truth. If you listen to one party, it's we're the truth. The other party's lying, and you listen, everybody out there says that they're telling the truth. Let me tell you a very, very simple way to know if our politicians are telling us the truth or not. It's a very old method in how to determine this, and that is if you carefully watch their lips, and if their lips move, you know they're lying to you. Okay? That's just a little bit of a tidbit of information that you can use. We're going into election cycle in November, and we're going to hear all kinds of stuff. So, but how do you know? We have to find an objective measure that is always going to tell us the truth. And that truth comes from none other than the Word of God. You see, this right here will always, always, always tell me the truth. Even when I don't want to hear it, even when I don't want to accept it, it's going to tell me the truth. And that doesn't mean we're always going to like what we see, or we're not always going to like how we see it. I spoke about Proverbs being such a good book to read. And Proverbs 3:11, Solomon is saying, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Sometimes it takes something bad happening or seeing ourselves in a bad light before we finally admit that we need to change. And the more that we read the Bible, the more that we're in the Bible, the more that we live the Word of God. We've talked about this since January, about reading the Word, praying the Word, and living the Word. The more that we live the Word of God, the more likely that this is going to happen to us. I love what Psalms 119:11 says, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we have scripture that is planted firmly in our hearts, God will often use that scripture. Sometimes we wonder, God, how come you don't talk with me? We may ask that question, God, are you even listening to me? Sometimes I think as looking at things, at humanity from God's point of view, it's got to be frustrating when we always ask God, God, how come you're never listening to me? How come you're not listening to what I'm saying? How come you're not talking to me? And God says, listen, I provided you with a book. I provided you with 66 books that is full of knowledge, full of wisdom. You see, we have the scripture planted firmly in our hearts, and God will often use his word when he wants to deal with situations and issues that we have in our lives. The next point I want to make is listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a reason why, I've said this many times over this pulpit, that the Holy Ghost is for more than just salvation. We talk about salvation. We love to quote Acts 2:38. I love to preach Acts 2:38. We talk about it. We believe it. We live it. But the Holy Ghost is for more than just salvation. I want you to understand this. The Holy Spirit, it is the check and balance in our lives. Now, when we look at our society, we have, since I've talked about a few political things this morning, we have the Congress, that is the congressmen, congresswomen, and we have the Senate, And we have the executive branch, which is the presidential branch. And we have the judicial branch, which is like the Supreme Court. And then we have the Constitution. And we have to understand that in all of this, the Constitution, as the Bible, is our rule of law. So now this is a very quick lesson. This is not a complete lesson by any means. But when I look at the Constitution of the United States, that is our bedrock. Just as a Christian and as society, as humanity, the Bible, the Word of God, is our bedrock. Now, I'm not comparing, I'm just comparing, okay? I'm not putting the Constitution at the same level as the Word of God. So don't get all torqued on me about this. So the Constitution, so the Supreme Court, when I look at the Supreme Court, sometimes it agitates me because the Supreme Court's job, the reason you're appointed to do your job, is you are to interpret the law based upon the constitutionality of the law. But see, what happens when we lose our check and balance is when Congress ignores the Constitution and the Senate ignores the Constitution, the judicial branch becomes activist and ignores, and the executive branch stretches and ignores. So at some point in time, we lose our check and balance, and we lose our check and balance when we get to that point, we no longer deserve the right of freedom. That's my opinion. If we're willing to throw it away because we're not willing to live by the checks and balances. You see, when Jesus promised in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 26, to send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to the church, he told his disciples that this counselor, this power that I'm going to send to you is going to be a check and a balance for everything that you do. It's going to be your spiritual compass. It's going to lead you. It's going to teach you. It's going to guide you into all things. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, or it will remind you of everything that I have shared and said to you. As we go through our day, this same Holy Spirit guides you and I. That means we don't have to go about this alone. And I hope you're getting it right. No, the Holy Spirit, it leads us into all truth, and it protects us. Paul writes to 2 Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit which dwells or lives in you. Even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of the worst turmoil, God sticks with us and he uses these challenges to shape us. When we understand that and we get a good old-fashioned gospel good news grip on that, then our entire perspective begins to change. You see, we no longer see our setbacks as failures. We see them as moments when God, as our loving Father, is actually working on us. That's exactly why we can trust the Lord with all our hearts. You see, he cares for us each and every day. And he gives us what we need to thrive, and he desires to pour blessing after blessing after blessing out upon us. And of course, following these steps every day, it's not always that easy. It's not always that easy. That's why Jesus says that we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves that me-centric attitude that we so often love to display. We have to deny ourselves and take up his cross and follow after him. Trusting God takes a whole new commitment day in and day out. You see, it's never a done or completed process. It's a continual process. It's something that when we first received Bible salvation, when we first repented of our sins and we first went down in baptism in the name of Jesus, and we began to speak with a new tongue, his language, a heavenly language. From that point on, that was the beginning of the process. And you may have been serving God for 40, 50, 60 years, and you are not done yet. You see, it's a continual process. And in this process, Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:20 that you don't have to worry about being alone. You don't have to worry about fighting your battles by yourself. You don't have to worry about all of the stress and all of this junk that is happening around you. Because Matthew 28:20, he says, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, we have to understand, folks, I would like to choose, or like to close, excuse me, with this point, and as our musicians can come. You see, God has his reasons. And sometimes it's just as simple as God knowing and understanding that a rescue wouldn't be the best. You see, I made reference to Jonah and the whale on Wednesday night, just a quick reference. You know, Jonah's, when you think about it, as Jonah told the men there on that boat that day that the problem, the reason that this vessel is sinking in this storm is because I'm running from my God, and God's going to get me because I've disobeyed him. So the best thing for you to do is to save yourselves, is to throw me overboard. And I'm sure Jonah accepted the fate of probably sinking deep into the ocean or the Mediterranean Sea and drowning. But you see, God had a much different method of rescue for Jonah. Sometimes God looks at our lives and we look at our lives and we think one way, and God is thinking something completely different. You see, so often we just want out of a difficult situation. We're not interested at all in what's best for us in the long term. We just want relief now. I remember when my wife decided at 40 years of age that she was going to get braces. And I remember going in with her, sitting down with the orthodontist, and then showing pictures. They took pictures of her jaw, and they basically was trying to explain to her that you have too many teeth. You have the normal amount of teeth, but your jawline is too small. We're going to have to remove a number of teeth. And before this whole process is ended, we may have to actually cut your jaw and reconnect your jaw, remove a portion of your jaw. And they went through all of this, and they had these pictures that you could look at what she looked like or her jawline would look like, what it looked like now and what it would look like after 3 years. She decided, based on the fact, being 40 years old, they told her that this is going to be a very painful process. She decided to go through with it. And I remember asking her, I said, hon, are you sure you want to do this? And she said, yes, I want to do this. She said, you know, she said, rather 3 years is going to go past, whether or not I have braces or not. So she said, I just might as well go ahead because the time's going to pass anyway. So every month she would go into the orthodontist and they would tighten those wires in her teeth. I remember her laying in bed at night and having to put those rubber band things, trying to get those things in her mouth. And I tried a few times and I was just like, I don't know how in the world they expect you to do all of this. But you see, if you asked her during this painful time, of, would you like to have these braces removed? I think at any given time she would have said, oh, you better believe it. I'd love to get these things off and out of my mouth. But you see, her orthodontist knew, however, that while taking off her braces would have ended her temporary suffering. It would have interfered with her long-term goal, and that was to have just pretty straight teeth. You see, we read in Romans 8, chapter 18, as Paul is writing, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Basically, what he was telling the church at Rome is, I'm in a lot of hurt right now. It's painful. You may be listening to me this morning and tears may be pouring down your cheeks right now because you are in a world of hurt. Because this is so true of life at times. But you see, what God is saying is, yeah, you may be hurting right now, but I'm with you. I haven't left you. I haven't departed. I'm with you always. You see, but it's at times like this, perhaps, that God is desiring to reveal His glory. And it is through our suffering at times that brings about that perfection that God is looking for in our lives. So when we cry out to God, and we may say, why, God? Why me? Why, God? Why my family? Just remember, yes, God may be looking at us and just smiling just a bit. He may be shaking his head. And he may be saying, I have my reasons. I have my reasons. God bless you this morning, Sister Fiona, Sister Brittany.
Spirit, lead us to your heart, oh Jesus.
so very much for joining us this morning. We trust that this has been a blessing to you, to your families. We have also today here at Calvary Gospel Church coming up at 1 o'clock, we have our Voces Unidas. They have the Year of the Child and a special Children's Day. So if you'd like to swing by, their service will be live outdoors. So if you'd like to swing by in the parking lot, you're more than welcome to park out there. Practice social distancing. They've got everything all laid out and set out. So if you haven't been out in a while, you're more than welcome to swing by. And also at 5 o'clock, we will have our African International. Brother Claude Abka will be here preaching indoors here. God bless you all so very much. Enjoy such a beautiful day out. Get outside. Just be safe, be saved, stay saved. I'll be glad when I don't have to repeat this anymore. Yes, yes, be sanctified and sanitized. God bless you. We will see you shortly, soon. Yes, soon, I hope. Very soon. God bless you all. Have a blessed week.